I have memories, I'm not sure if they are fond or sad ones, of the SABC from the days of the Triple Inquiry report, from the days when we had to start looking at the public service mandate. I'm a lawyer by training. I was born in Soweto, and I went to school after the 1976 riots to Lesotho. And then I came back to school and I studied at UCT. I did a law degree at UCT and I did a postgraduate diploma in electronic communications and information technology law. And for my sins, I was made the chairperson of the National Telecommunications Forum. That was the transformation forum for the telecommunications industry in the early 1990s when we were transforming all the different sectors. So I chaired the telecommunications forum, and we wrote the Telecommunications Act of 1994. And whilst we were doing that, that was during the time when we were also doing the Triple Inquiry report, so I was involved in the CITP, representing the CITP in all the broadcasting fora. And after the CITP, I moved on to Telkom, and whilst briefly, I said briefly in Telkom, working, trying to work to prepare Telkom for competition. And whilst I was doing that, I was then nominated to serve on the board of the, to serve on the council of the IBA. And that was at the time when the IBA was going through a lot of problems. And I was subsequently appointed chairperson of the IBA and given the mandate of liberalizing the broadcasting industry. So we went ahead with the mandate of liberalizing the broadcasting industry, licensing stations such as Kaya FM, Classic FM, and we did the first free-to-air private television service in South Africa, ETV. And after that, I moved on to MTN. Well, whilst I was in the IBA, I was also the vice president of the Network of African Regulators, and we were forming, we were trying to create uniform regulatory policies for the African continent. And once I came out of there, because of that, MTN then brought me on board to help them with their international expansion. So I went on to MTN and headed international business development and worked in different countries. They used to call me a hunter, and I used to run all over the continent hunting licenses. In fact, there was one time when I even ended up in Yemen trying to get a license from MTN in Yemen. And I lived in Nigeria for about 5 years to implement the MTN, after I got the license to set up MTN from scratch. And after Nigeria, I lived a little bit in Cameroon. We did a bit in Cameroon, but the time that I spent longest in was in Nigeria. And when I came back from Nigeria, I worked in Zambia. And after that, I was just tired of that environment and decided to stop a bit, take time out. But I continue consulting for a number of companies, MTN being the primary client. And I then decided also to set up an NGO for empowerment of young African men in particular, because I feel that's a sector that we're beginning. It's a section of the population that I think we're not paying as much attention to as we should. So I've started an NGO that particularly looks at issues that affect young men in South Africa. That's what keeps me busy these days, that and consulting on ICT. And why should I be appointed to the SABC board? I'd like to believe that the people who nominated me know my background, know the work that I've done in the industry, and feel that I will add value to the board, particularly because of the broadcasting background, the ICT, my understanding of new technologies and how we can deliver content using new technologies. And not only that, but from a governance perspective, I've sat on a number of boards. I've worked in organizations. I've had an operational role in organizations, so I know how organizations work. I know how corporate governance works. I sit on the audit committee of one of the companies that I whose board I sit on. And I would like to believe that experience combined with my knowledge of ICT is what people believed would add value to the SABC board.
Thank you very much. Reverend Zondi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good day, Ms. Fillon. I see that in terms of your CV and in your presentation, you're a very accomplished person. And in view of the controversies in which the SABC is involved in, what do you think would be your input in helping that institution live up to its public mandate? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin Zondi. The SABC, in the words of a friend of mine, has been a site under construction forever. And I think it's very sad because I feel that the committee, successive committees, have always appointed good board members. I mean, the board members, you may have issues with some of the people that you've had on the boards, but the boards of the SABC in all the different times, in my opinion, have not been the problem. The problem of the SABC is the management of the SABC. And I truly believe that you need a board that will be courageous enough to start taking tough decisions and take the hard decisions that have to be taken about cleaning out the SABC. Because you can have the best people on the board of the SABC, but for as long as you have that management and some of the people in that management, we are going to be here another year and debating these various issues over and over again. And I think that we should have the courage to appoint the right people into the SABC management. And so that's a contribution that I would make to that debate.
A site under construction. Permanent. I'm told that in any city, if there are a lot of cranes, it means development. I'm not sure at Oakland Park whether the same sentiment can be shared. Morning. I'm very grateful that you are a good citizen. And indeed, you are paying your TV license.
I have it here, sir.
Yes. you must be mindful of the 1st of March next year. so that you don't find yourself at the wrong side. But the question which I'm having is that the first one is the issue of the issue of conflict of interest. The law allows that the board members can have interest as long as they are going to declare and not participate on the meetings, which are taking decisions on the issues which they've got interest at. Do you think that is that sufficient? Or is necessary that board members and also management, senior managers for that matter, find themselves having a business interest in the SABC? That would be my first question. The second question, which I don't know how it escaped the previous Dr. Titus. I've asked a question in relation to how do you view the action or the decision of the committee to dissolve the board and put in an interim board. What's your view around that particular matter? That would be the second question. The third question is in relation to it becomes apparent that there is no evaluation tool for the board members of the SABC. It's easy to deal with the managers because the board can handle that. What mechanism can we put in place to evaluate the SABC board members? I know that performance system you can put in place, but who must be responsible to evaluate the board members based off the sensitivity of the SABC. Others, they can argue until they are blue, that if you say the line minister, which is the OC, interference can be argued that it can be high and so on. In your view, what can we do in order to deal with that particular matter so that the SABC board is also evaluated? And lastly, there is this matter of editorial independence. Current as things stand, that the SABC, the editor-in-chief is with the board, and the board delegated to the group CEO, and then it will go down. But there are arguments that that system has got its own challenges. What's your view around that? If indeed that system do have challenges, how do you think we must deal with those challenges? The last one, I thought we were going to interview you over the line as technologies advance. I'm not sure whether I'm seeing you in person because yesterday we have a very interesting matter where people change to be baboons and other things and so on. But I hope it's you. Thanks, Jefferson.
It is me, sir. Thank you very much for the questions, Honourable Member. The first question, conflict of interest. I truly believe that if you're going to serve on any board, you should not have any conflict. If you have conflict, you should get off that board. And if you start having that provision that says that you declare a conflict and you recuse yourself, I have seen instances where you find that at every board meeting, one member will then be recusing themselves. Then you don't actually have the benefit of all the board members participating. I truly, truly believe that they should, that clause for me is not sufficient, that if you have a conflict, then you must not be on the board, period. That's my view. And that's the view I hold in all the boards that I sit on. So you either remove the conflict or you remove yourself from that board. So that's my response to that first question. The second question on the decision of the committee to dissolve the board. There were just too many problems with the SABC at the time, and I do not believe that the previous board helped matters much. There were lots of people on that board that I respect very, very highly. Some of them are friends of mine that I've worked with in different environments. So the personalities I had absolutely no problem with. I just feel that as a board, they did not, in the end, act in the best interest of the SABC. There's lots of things that they let go. If they had issues with the CEO, the processes that they followed in firing the CEO have put the organization in a lot of problems, and I just feel that as the board, they themselves did a lot. They brought a lot upon themselves that eventually led to, I suppose, the dissolution. Whether the dissolution itself was the right decision in the end, I suppose it depends on where you stand, and where I stand, I think, is neutral.
If you say yes, we appoint you. If you say no, we don't appoint you. So make up your mind, eh?
Well, all I think is that because the people that we have in the interim board are, well, you've got some of that interim board is such a superb board. I think you've got some very, very good people in the board. The chairperson of the board, I know personally, we've kicked down doors together in many, many places to change, to bring about change. She's a very, very strong woman. And I think that if only for that, the fact that you've brought in people like Libby Lloyd, like Irene Chanley, into that board, for me, that's the one good thing that came out of this process. Whether the process itself was right or wrong, I really reserve my right on that issue. Also, I've got four other questions, but I need to... So he asked four questions, so I just want to open to it. The third thing about evaluation of an evaluation mechanism for the board, that's very easy. A lot of boards have these days actually have an evaluation process. In fact, each and every member of the board, there's an evaluation process that goes through. There's a form that you fill, and you yourself evaluate yourself, and then your peers evaluate you, and it's a process that happens every quarter. And I think that this is a process that should happen with Parliament. In fact, it's one of my biggest concerns about Parliament over time has been that there hasn't been enough oversight over the SABC board. I know that the SABC management comes time and again and makes fancy presentations to the portfolio committee, but the board itself to be held to account on the mandate has not happened, and I think this is something going forward that has to happen. And the next question, editorial independence. Can you just put that question again so that I make sure that I understood it? Honorable Colon.
Thanks, Chair. As things stand now in the SABC, if you look on it, is that the editor-in-chief or the chief editor, actually those powers lie with the board. But the board delegated the group CEO, which in turn, you see, the board gave it to the group CEO to be the editor-in-chief or the chief editor. But then it further goes down to the head of news and so on. Now you've got this thing of editorial independence. Now, the question which I'm raising is that what is your view of this current setup? It does not mean necessarily that the board get involved, because it's a group CEO there and the head of news and so on who are dealing with those issues. The group CEO come to account to the board and so on. But there's been a lot of contestation about that current setup. Now the question I'm asking is that what's your view about that setup? And indeed, if this contestation which I raised are true or are factual, what do you think should be a different way of handling this particular matter?
Well, this takes us back to the understanding of our editorial independence. And for me, the SABC charter is very, very clear about what we mean by editorial independence. So suppose it doesn't go into detail about how that should be done, but I think that the practice has been that the board, the head of news reports to the board, and for them to have delegated that power to the CEO then kind of defeats the purpose. Then you should have had it reporting to the CEO in the first place. There was a reason why the head of news reported to the board and not the CEO. So I totally disagree with that view. I would have always, I assume that the board as the custodian of the interests of the public of South Africa should be the one that has final say, I suppose, over the, not interfering in the decisions, so I have to be careful here. You can't have the board interfering in the decisions of the head of news, but they should have oversight, and he should have accountability, or she should have accountability to the board and not to the CEO. And so I think that approach was the wrong approach. I totally disagree with that. And the last question you asked me, why am I here, not in the USA, supposed to be? I was meant to have traveled 2 weeks ago, but for some logistical arrangements that went wrong, I'm only traveling tomorrow.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. Good morning. Good afternoon. I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about your remarks regarding the board needing to be able to take tough decisions with management, and the board having, you know, to appoint the right people within the executive management. You do know that the interim board is in the process of appointing the CEO and the head of news.
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications, you think, for an incoming board, which is then responsible for overseeing an executive committee it didn't necessarily appoint? And can you also tell me what you think of what you may have read or what you know from the industry about the friction between the executive committee and the board, the extent to which you think this can be mitigated in order to prevent conflict from arising again? Because, I mean, that's clearly what we're here to try to prevent, a situation where, you know, people leapfrog over one another. There's no clear indication of who's running the show. What do you think can be done to prevent this kind of friction from coming up again? My second question has to do with the SABC's funding model. It's a great debate that's raging on about the extent to which the government should get involved in, or if at all, in funding the SABC and how much. There are certain views about the trade-off between being reliant on commercial needs and how this would affect content, and then necessarily how government might affect, how government might have some kind of influence over the SABC if it gives the SABC funding from the fiscus. What is your view on that?
Thank you very much. The appointment of a CEO by the interim board, to be quite frank, for me is not a problem. The issue is the person that they appoint. And there's many a times when you sit on a board where you find somebody that has already been appointed that is already a CEO, and you have to work with that person. The only thing that I would hope for is that for once we put aside political expediency and or personal interest and actually appoint the right person in the interest of the SABC. Because, like I said earlier, the problems of the SABC are not on the board. The problems of the SABC lie with management, and that starts with the kind of person that you appoint as CEO. And secondly, the issue of friction between Exco and board is, again, related to the question of your management. What tends to happen is, if you don't have people who are competent, then the board ends up becoming hands-on. You start, if you go to meetings, you start calling for information, start calling for reports, and people don't do their work, then, you know, the board starts getting drawn into day-to-day management of the SABC or of any board. And that's where the problem lies with the SABC. My impression and my understanding from people that I know from the SABC is that the board has become so hands-on because people are either not competent, and I cannot pronounce on their competence or otherwise because I have not dealt with them directly, but I feel that it is because people are not performing their respective duties adequately that your boards then become hands-on, and that's what leads to friction in a lot of boards. And now I've sat in dysfunctional boards before. I used to be the chairperson of the IBA, and I can tell you a whole lot of stories about the kinds of problems that we had in the IBA that we had to. We had the same problem because before you actually appointed the right people in place, the board, the council of the IBA was so heavily involved in the day-to-day management because people are not doing their duties. So if everybody follows the mandate, you appoint the right people in the first place, and we stick to the mandate of the, because we are all governed by the mandate. The SABC charter is very clear about the mandate of the board. The board has an oversight role over management, and if you follow that and you appoint the right people, I do not see any reason why you should have such conflicts. The last question, the SABC funding. Yeah, I have here what you call the Triple Inquiry Report. And this was in 1995 when we dealt with this issue, that every time we sit down and talk about the SABC, we talk about funding of the SABC. And the arguments that are coming up today have come up every year since the first time we started raising this issue. And I think in the Triple Inquiry Report, a point was made that there had to be a review of the funding of the SABC. And as far as I'm concerned, we have never, ever conducted a scientific review of the funding of the SABC and actually look at the cost of achieving the SABC mandate, the real cost of achieving the mandate, and therefore the appropriate funding mechanism for the SABC. And I can sit here and propound another theory like everybody else has in a policy. I've listened to this so many times. When I was sitting on the IBA, when we were drafting legislation, this issue has come up so many times that and there have been as many views on it as there have been hearings on the matter. And I just believe that it is about time we actually conducted that inquiry that was called for in 1905, after the Triple Inquiry report. We did say that after about 3 years, we had to look at the real cost of the mandate, of the SABC mandate, and let's do a scientific job of really coming up with this, because everybody else is thumbsucking. People say 60% government. And those that say that the government must fund this, must please tell us where the government is going to get that money from. If they can tell us, then I'll be very happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As we move on, you will be happy to learn that some of my questions are falling off. So just two questions remaining, Ms. Seka. The one is, from your CV and your nomination, it seems that it comes from independent sources and that you don't have any party political affiliation. Mm-hmm. Can you confirm that?
I'm a card-carrying member of the African National Congress.
Right. But you don't serve in any high political office?
No.
Secondly, the issue of the credibility of the board. We have, as you said, it's a site under construction. This is the view of the committee across party political affiliation, that we really want to launch the board with, and to give South Africa a board that will be viewed as truly representative of the entire nation, the public broadcaster as such. What is your view of people serving in high political office, taking up position in the board, and the danger that it could create perceptions of favoritism or bias, because it is an institution that is managed under the auspices of government? First thing. The second thing, what is your view about if we say we have challenges as far as that we don't have the right people necessarily in the right places, what do we do to change that around? How do we do it? How do we move forward so that we make sure that every person within the organization is really accountable, falling into line, reporting back, doing the job that is well described, so that we could have a functioning public broadcast? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kenya. People serving in political office. I always thought that people who hold political office are not eligible to serve on the board of the SABC. It was I always assumed that should be, that's the approach that we all take, that it would compromise.
No,
you see,
maybe Julie should explain. Those who hold formal positions, official positions, yes, they don't.
Uh-huh.
But if you are a senior former politician, a former member of parliament, you are attached to a party, now you want to be a member of the board, or if you are not holding, is it? No, but the law is very clear. If you are an office bearer in any political party, you are disqualified. You can't serve as a member of the.
As a member of the board.
Yeah. But is that what you mean? Because that is quite clear.
Yeah.
Yes, Chairperson. But we have had candidates here, and we have asked what the position was as far as the political office was concerned.
Okay. And I'm not subjecting to the question. I'm trying to clarify.
Okay. No, but I thought the law was very clear about political office bearers not sitting on the board of the SABC or on any board of parastate of our matter. But I think, if for example, originally, let me just give an example here. If you left this committee, for example, and then you became an ordinary citizen, I see absolutely no reason why you shouldn't come back and serve on the SABC board, because one, the experience that you would have gathered from this board would be from their committee and from dealing with these issues that affect the SABC would be invaluable to that board. And also, yes.
Can I just ask, even if you are still a candidate on a list,
if you don't hold political, being a candidate on a list doesn't mean you hold a political office. So I suppose if you don't hold political office, and you're not actively participating in any political capacity, I see no reason why you shouldn't. I think you would a tremendous value to this board if you left to the SABC board if you left the committee and then come back. I understand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then the second question, if you can go there, the challenges of putting the right people in the right places and how you do that. I often ask myself why, before I even answer the question, I'm not trying to pronounce on the competence or otherwise of SABC management, but on the face of it, looking at the SABC, they look like they are grossly incompetent. And so obviously somebody is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I don't understand why they're still there. And so the question is why the management, the successive management of the SABC have never taken those decisions. I keep asking myself that, but why haven't people taken those tough decisions and removed people who are not performing? And from my research, I even find out that people don't have performance contracts, and they have contracts that are written without any clear performance, performance within them. That does not make any sense whatsoever to me. So, and I think that any board that comes into the SABC now, that's one of the first things that they should attend to.
No, I think I won't raise the question now. I'll just need a space in between the candidates and the next one to delete my mic.
No further questions. Then, Sega, thank you very much for your time and for participating in this interview. And we will keep in touch. Thank you, then. Can we get the next candidate, Advocate Puayo? Yeah. What is it that you want to raise, Eric?
Chair, when we're dealing with the dissolution of the board, you remember, Chair, one former board member said the committee seemed to have a shallow understanding of the legislation. We seem not to understand the legislation, what does it entail? If you read the letter from SAF, our SABC, which they have sent us today, you remember, Chair, that they raised the issue of objection. Because people, they raise issues which does not talk to the legislation because they didn't read the legislation. But they were making allegations about the matter of the two candidates which we're talking about, Kretshwayo and Mzipe. If you read their letter today, they concede to say, as the legislation stands now, does not exclude any person who's holding a political office, as it stands now as we talk. Mm-hmm. And they also further say, but it's a matter as we amend the legislation that needs to be considered, so that moving forward we are clear about that matter. I just want to make that point clear, so that as a committee, at least ourselves from the ANC side, we don't view it to continue with our shallow understanding of the legislation itself. Thank you.
You may leave. Your interview is over. We are fighting other battles here at the moment. We don't want to drag you into that. We don't want to drag you into that. Welcome to Parliament. We've been keeping you waiting for quite some time. Have you been to Parliament before? Okay, and are you familiar with the parliamentary processes and proceedings? Kind of. Anyway, welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Communications. We're going to give you 3 to 5 minutes to take us through your CV and maybe share your thoughts on why you think you'll be a worthy candidate to serve on the ICPC board. And then thereafter, members will put questions to you, and you answer to each question. So over to you.
Good morning to all the members of the panel. Nongosi is my name, my first name. The family name is Bejuayo. I am an adult. Haven't come through the ranks with the legal training as well as management training. having practiced as a manager and also having had quite a great deal of exposure on the legal issues, in particular the constitutional issues, specifically having been at some point employed by the Constitutional Assembly to produce the constitution that this country is running on the basis of, as one of the legal advisors, specifically an assistant law advisor, and also having served the very same parliament in the Senate as one of the researchers, having been given a responsibility of ensuring the setting up of the NCOP, and the area of speciality being the legislative relationship between the two houses. And having moved from there to the Department of Justice, the manager, senior manager, the regional head for the Northwest Province, Northwest, and later transferred to the Eastern Cape, same responsibility. While at that responsibility, and then I was called upon to come and ensure strong support to the Speaker of the National Assembly, Ms. Maleka Mbete, at the time, and to try and set up an office that was going to ensure that support to the leadership of the House, which is the Speaker herself, the Deputy, as well as the House Chairpersons at the time. And then moved on together with her when she became the caretaker deputy president and joined her as a strategic advisor. And up to the end of the term, which was the end of July. SABC board, seated here today, hasn't been nominated by one of the colleagues, Justice Mbeleza. With me accepting that, precisely because I thought I could make an input. One as a South African who is a recipient of the services that are provided by the board itself, and secondly, as a person who's got this experience that I have, both in strategic management, advisory services, and also as a lawyer. And these combined would then make it possible for me to make that kind of valuable input into the board. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. My first question I don't have because you do pay your TV license.
Yes, sir.
And it's the right thing to do.
I do, sir.
Continue to do so. And please also pass the message to other advocates to pay their TV license. And anyone you come across the street. My first question is in relation to, there is a matter which we dealt with Tuesday when we started the interview. Unfortunately, that you are among the people who were carried by the media. The media felt that you are too close to the ruling party, you know. I'm sure you've already said where did you serve and so on and so on. We have since interacted as a committee with those people who raised that matter, and they have since sent a letter of rescinding that opinion after they've understood what is the legislation saying about the selection of people. So if you happen to read that piece of a newspaper, feel free. You being here is not under question. You are within your full right to be here, to be interviewed for the preferable appointment to the board. My first question is in relation to the issue of conflict of interest. but this time I mean specifically the business interest. In terms of what is your view for board members and to a certain extent the senior managers of SABC being involved in business with the SABC or having companies or linked to companies which are doing business with the SABC. The law allows that you can declare if you are a board member. But what is your view? Is that sufficient to deal with the problem which we are facing as a country? Everyone is talking about corruption everywhere. People are complaining that they don't get enough chances to compete and be objectively be looked at in terms of opportunity to make their living and so on. That would be my first question. The second question is in relating to there is a suggestion which is coming up strong that one of the weaknesses which we are having currently is that no one is responsible to monitor or evaluate the performance of the SABC board practically. Who do you think must do so if we embark to that exercise? Because indeed there is a need to evaluate the performance of the board. But there are also arguments which said if you give it to the line ministry, the problem of interference might come in, because people believe that anything which got to do with government, when you interact with any institution, we are talking about ANC. They might not even differentiate when the TV is airing a program which is what the minister, they say ANC. When is the ANC run, they say ANC again for the second time in one bulletin. If it's another minister, ANC again, that time in a bulletin. So there's not that distinction around that particular matter which become the ANC and so on. But what's your view around the issue of assessment performance of board members of the SABC?
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe let me start with the last one, the evaluation of the performance of the SABC board. I must confess and say this is a question that one never really likes it and you know, pre-think about it. But honorable member, it's a very interesting question, precisely because performance, if it has to give what is expected of it, at some point there has to be evaluation. You are evaluating a person in terms of the promises that a person had made, indicating how he or she is going to discharge his or her mandate. And in this case, I would say the board would have to be saying, would have to be evaluated on what it would have promised the nation, the country, the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee, on how it was going to be discharging its mandate and therefore performing in accordance with its mandate. Hence, I'm saying this is a very relevant question, Chairperson. And the member is also making a very interesting point that there are concerns in terms of who should be doing this specifically, whether it should be the minister, who exactly should be doing it. And I want to say in as far as party political issues, it would it would really be posing a challenge, maybe for anyone to be judgmental and say it would be a party political thing if it is evaluated even by the minister. Because even if you were to say it must be evaluated by the House, you would find that it would still be the ANC member, if I were to be very specific, who would be in the majority as the ruling party, that is the government of the day. And unfortunately, this evaluation has to be done by government, I would think, that because that is where the country's mandate lies. It lies with government in the form of parliament, the executive, maybe the judiciary as well. But the mandate now, specifically when it comes to the board, it lies with parliament, that's the National Assembly, and the executive in terms of the minister itself. And therefore, the very people who have this mandate of overseeing the board administratively when it comes to the minister and the National Assembly in terms of the oversight, are the people who, by virtue of their mandate, have to be doing this evaluation, and they would then be representing the nation. And therefore, I'm basically saying, no matter what or how one thinks anything in terms of the evaluation of this board, it still has to be done by government. It could be the National Assembly, and you would still find that the ruling party is ANC. It could be done by the minister, who also is the, unfortunately, fortunately, the ANC minister, and happens to be, it could have been any party, by the way, it could have been. Elections could have given us another party, the party that also nominated me, or any other party. But it so happened that at this point in time, that it is the ANC by virtue of the mandate that comes from the majority of the people that voted out there. And therefore, in my view, the relevant authority that should be doing performance assessment itself, and performance assessment being an administrative matter or an executive matter, it necessarily, if we have to be looking at it that way, and even looking at the issues of governance itself, the minister would be better placed to handle this responsibility. Of course, in consultation, but consulting the National Assembly to the Portfolio Committee. But to me, the minister would be the better person placed to do this responsibility by virtue of the fact that he is the executive authority that also has been given this responsibility of the inter... She, yes, ma'am. Well, I'm saying he because as we speak, it is, yes, the current one is a he, ma'am. But I am I'm quite sensitive to that as well because I'm a she myself. So, to me, the minister would be better placed to handle this responsibility of evaluating the board. Now, the conflict of interest. It is a sad fact that in South Africa, poverty really is an issue that we all are worried about. We might look well-to-do, but we still have, even ourselves, quite a great deal of traces of poverty wherever we go. I think the gap between the poor and the rich has kind of widened, and unfortunately those who were poor at some point having become even poorer, and therefore poverty on its own has become this thing that, it has kind of clouded a lot of, human thinking out there. As you had indicated, honorable member, the issues of corruption and the like, which cannot be promoted in any way. But I'm just saying, we find ourselves with that, and we definitely have the mandate, again, to be protecting these very poor people from being pushed even further, you know, by some people who would not be very conscious enough, you know, to those things, and think that the issue is about themselves and reaching themselves in a manner that maybe does not violate the statutory framework that is out there, but abusing it, because it would necessarily be a question of abusing it, that you know that you are this person that is occupying a position of authority in a particular entity, and you still push that you be given priority when, you know, such tenders are issued to people out there. Yes, it is indeed correct, member, that the law says declare, disclose. But I think if you are going to be talking about a credible institution, you need people who would have who would be decent enough to say, in as much as I have this right, but I've also got to be balancing it out with the fact that I am also paid in this position, and therefore I'm earning some money, and that I also have this authority that this tender has to be granted in a particular fashion, or I have this particular influence with it. So I'm trying to say, in as much as the law, technically speaking, says that you have a right, but you still need to have people who are going to be sensitive, you know, to what is happening in our country, and as I have indicated, poverty that is hitting the people out there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Advocate Joyo, I have been going through your CV. One little thing that I do not seem to detect, what is your present preoccupation? And then the second question, I see in your CV that, of course, obviously, as an advocate, you've got legal background, but also you've got training in program and project management. Now, in light of the recent controversies in which the SAPC has been involved, which has led to this process, what would you say would be your single most important contribution you would make to this board if you were to be appointed? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Currently, Mr. Zondi, I would say I am unemployed. I'm not employed. I am on a casual basis assisting the former deputy president with some of the projects that relate to whenever she refers them to me, that relate to the people out there and the nation, people who have got a whole lot of concerns, some of which are not necessarily different from the issues that the Honourable Member Kolwane had raised. So I'm, in a way, occupied with those things as I currently speak. So. And then program and project management and legal competences. To me, these two complement each other, Honourable Member. They actually give me a strategic view of almost any environment that I get given a responsibility for, in the sense that if you look at project management, program and project management, necessarily these two are talking about corporate governance. So that's basically what they're all about, corporate governance. And corporate governance, that one of the issues that have kind of become an issue in the SABC as the broadcasting authority, and even the board itself, you know, how issues of corporate governance are being observed there. And again, corporate governance, that on themselves have got the legal implications, you know, for what the board does in the process of them discharging their corporate responsibility, and also as they impact on the human rights as a legal issue on the people that are supposed to be receiving the broadcasting services that SABC has been given a mandate to discharge. So I'm basically saying these two on their own, I wouldn't want to separate them if I have to be a member of this of the board. I want to go and be a member of this board with these two as a, maybe my tools, you know, to adding value to the corporation.
Thanks, Chair. Good day, Advocate. I've got two questions. I think Mr. Zondi also covered me, even though I'm not sure whether the answer is what Mr. Zondi was expecting, because I thought Mr. Zondi was asking about the contribution that will bring into the SABC if you get appointed to the SABC board, because your background is related to legal environment. But my question is that if you get appointed to the SABC board, how will you protect the SABC from unhealthy political and commercial interference? And second question, it's about the funding model of the SABC and the discussion or the debate that is ongoing about the funding model, and what is your view and what is it that you'll subscribe into in terms of the funding model of the SABC, assuming that you understand this debate and you are familiar with this debate. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Political interference. SABC is governed by a number of statutes. Therefore, there is legal framework that is there that governs, one, the mandate of the SABC, that governs the board. There are also a whole lot of other policy, maybe there's a whole lot of policy framework around the functioning of the SABC. There's also a whole lot of the body of knowledge out there. Also, you know, on the very same issue of governing how SABC has to be discharging its mandate, and therefore the integrity of the SABC. So it then tells us that there really is no question of the countries having not done enough to ensure that that SABC is properly governed in terms of statute and even subordinate legislation. And therefore, if there really is a question around the issue of political interference, then it is a question of, you know, the integrity of the individuals within the SABC, whether it is at the actual administration of the authority, or maybe at the board level itself. So I think really the issue of legal framework when it comes to this one, it's sufficient. It might not be 100%, but it is sufficient. And what then is left if we have that kind of a concern? What then is left is whether the implementation of this legislation that we are talking about is really done to the expectation of the people who themselves put these pieces of legislation together and the policymakers themselves. That on its own would then go together with the promise that I had indicated earlier on, that the SABC board, as well as the administration itself, make promises to the nation at some point and say, this is how we're going to deliver. And at some point, there then has to be this evaluation of whether the actual implementation of these legislations that we're talking about does happen at all. And if this doesn't happen, if there isn't any evaluation at a particular point in time, we're going to find ourselves as a country caught, you know, unawares or caught up in a situation where we say there is this political interference. So like any other thing, even the issue of political interference, it's an issue that the board has to know that it's a promise that it has made that it would do whatever it does, as well as the SABC staff, by the way, that they would perform in accordance with the promises that they have made. And somebody at some point would therefore call them to account and say, let's look at your performance. Have you performed? So far, have you performed in accordance with the promises that you have made? And if there is any question of them, you know, having allowed political interference, then they themselves are the people who then have to be accounting for having done that. I'm saying this, again, with maybe the full respect that if we talk political interference, we would be talking political interference from maybe from Parliament itself. And therefore, Parliament being made up to me by the people that I would think they are people of integrity. And therefore, even when themselves think of, you know, interfering politically with a responsibility that they know that constitutionally it has to be given that freedom, that they would have to think twice before they actually do that. So it's a question of Parliament, if it's Parliament, saying it's our country and we've got to be responsible enough not to interfere. And also it's a question of those who have to be implementing these laws and preventing this interference, actually implementing them and being evaluated and appraised for having done that. Thank you. Well, there was a question on funding model, sir.
Oh, yes.
currently, my understanding is that SABC has amongst its sources of revenue the state in terms of the treasury, and also advertising, and also, you know, some revenue from licenses that they issue to entities out there and interested people. And I also believe there are some sponsors. I don't know what sponsors, but I believe there are also some sponsors. And the member, Honorable Mkize, seems to be concerned about advertising. I'm not sure whether I'm correct to say, in particular. It is, in fact, important that, because SABC is a public broadcaster, and that, like any other, you know, public service institution, gets some funding from the state, and that the legislation does allow them to, you know, to try and look up at some other sources of revenue. It is important that they be given that space, you know, to try and raise funds in those areas. However, in doing that, again, I would say it would be very important that is done within the four corners of the law. You wouldn't want a situation where advertising is given priority over and above the programming that it's supposed to be benefiting the, you know, people who have got nothing to do with advertising and the like. People that would want to be receiving service from the programs that they would be, you know, getting some education from, entertainment from, and even the country, you know, showing, you know, what it is as a country. So I'm basically saying there has to be this balancing between us as the SABC trying to raise some funds in whatever manner, including advertising, with the fact that there has to be this service, which is actually the core mandate of the SABC, because the core mandate of the SABC is public broadcasting. So that, in whatever is being done, it's got to be made clear that it must not be compromised in any way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Advocate Kutoya.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
You know, I don't think we have to confine you to legal matters because you are an advocate. If you are going to serve as a board member of a public broadcaster, I think you will be concerned about other avenues also. I would like to ask from you, as a South African, at this particular moment, do you think that the regional stations of the SABC are doing justice to universal access? I'm asking this because some of the programming that they execute, it doesn't, to me, doesn't serve the purpose of educating a certain sector. And there are areas in South Africa that cannot access the services of the SABC. And also, if you could explain to us here, what, as a legal person now, what you think about the decision that was taken by Parliament of dissolving the previous board, because carrying out this, their mandate by doing so, and our main concern was about the board not carrying out its fiduciary duties. And the other one is that what is your opinion about the decision that has been taken by the acting board on closing down some of the international news bureaus? Thank you, Advocate. I think those are the questions that I would like you to respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. In terms of access to everybody in the country, I think as the country, we still have a huge challenge, not only in as far as SABC is concerned, but in a number of areas as well. What then becomes of special interest when it comes to SABC is the fact that it has got this educational element in it that you have just referred to. And if we are a nation that has to be educated, surely it then says all of us have got to have access to whatever educational material there is in the country. Now, if you're going to have SABC, which is supposed to be the vehicle of accessing, because where it is placed, SABC should be, you know, a vehicle. In fact, it is the fastest vehicle that should be accessing educational programs to people. And if now there's a challenge that there are areas that do not have this access, then it means, as a country, as I have indicated, we still have a very long way to go, and we've got to be catching up very quick with that long way that we have to be taking. Dissolving of the board. I would start by saying it is within the authority of the House to dissolve the board. So the statute does allow and does empower the House to dissolve the board if the board is not performing in accordance with the laws that actually were passed by the very, very same House for the benefit of the people of this country. Because it then means if they are not discharging that duty, or if we are, assuming that I'm the board member myself, we're not discharging that duty, then it means we are not doing the country any good service at all. And therefore, the National Assembly, that has got that's empowered by the law to do so, on its own needs to make sure that it doesn't neglect its own duties by just letting things roll instead of arresting them as quick as they can. And in this particular case, it's been, you know, big news out there that whether we like it, there have been challenges within the SABC. You see this from the litigation that surrounded the suspension of the CEO, and that attracted quite a lot of publicity out there, and therefore not a good name for a public broadcaster. Well, you've also seen the debates in the National Assembly. We've also seen even the chairperson of the previous board, you know, making some admissions. We've also seen even some of the members of the board making some admissions in as far as the issues of good corporate governance. And therefore, if the National Assembly had decided to wait, I am not sure how then we would have ended up with a public broadcaster that would have performed as the nation expects, and even as the global village is looking at us as a country. On the decision of closing some bureaus, it's never a nice thing to say you had started a project and you want to stop it even before the time you had set for yourself to complete it. But it happens. It's happened even in this case. Or there is, you know, thinking towards that. The sad part about this is that it gives a taste that it was never well thought of from the very beginning. And you would then want to say it does give a sense that there was no proper planning around the idea of these expansions. Because proper planning goes together with resourcing the plan itself, resourcing it financially, and in this case, I would then say costing your plan. You cost your plan. And if you are going to say, in the middle of you running with your plan, and then you say you're running out of funds, the only easy conclusion is to say, if you had done your proper planning and you had done your proper costing and your projections and the like, even if you were to say you are running out of funds, you wouldn't necessarily go to an extent of saying, I'm going to shut it down. You would just want to say, I would prioritize within it, you know, within the plan itself or the project itself. And again, you might want also to say, even if it is a question maybe of some planning having been done, you might just want to say, maybe we are reprioritizing even within the SABC board itself. And we're now saying we are at this point in our economic situation. And therefore, in terms of the list of the things that we're supposed to have done, do we still think that these are also, you know, priority areas? And if they are not, then what should we then be doing about them? And if they are not, we could, as they have decided to do away with them. But in the main, I am very much worried around the fact that planning could also have been an issue around this and relevant costing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry you did not convince me of your impartiality. I am not too close to government to be on the SABC board. You can tell this House today that you are impartial, but I can tell you the people will see you as the messenger of the Deputy President on the SABC's board.
I don't know whether I'm supposed to respond now. Can I respond, sir?
Yes, please.
Oh.
That's why I make the statement.
Oh, all right. No, I thought you were still continuing. All right.
No, I keep my questions short.
Yes, sir. Chairperson, I am seated here before this committee, that has got to be judging my performance today. And therefore, I'm the player, and not a judge or a referee in this case, and therefore I'm going to leave it to the panel to say on the basis of what they know about me, on the basis of how I have actually presented myself today, maybe even on the basis of my curriculum vitae, as to how they would decide in terms of impartiality also. But I want to say, Chairperson, that if the rationale behind the, I don't want to say an allegation, but maybe the thinking that one could be impartial is based on the fact that I have served in government, I would think that that would be very unfair, maybe even painful, precisely because if you talk government is the largest employer around here, and you would realize that the majority of South Africans get employed by government. And with me, I'm very happy, honorable member, to say my past 15 years have really been the years of service to this government, and therefore to this nation. Even though I am an ANC member, I was not nominated here by the ANC, not that they would nominate me if they wanted to, and that my CV doesn't even say at some point I was once an employee of the ANC, not that I wouldn't be employed by the ANC, I would have been happy to have served the ANC as an employee. However, I ended up being the government employee, and government is government of everybody. And the positions that I served in were positions that I was serving everybody, irrespective of their party political affiliation. Looking at the Constitutional Assembly, I was the lawyer to the Constitutional Assembly, which produced the constitution of the country with the human rights of everybody, irrespective of the political party, and also the right to political affiliation. Even in the office of the Speaker, say, I was serving there as strategic support to the leadership of the National Assembly, which is the body that represents all political parties. And I do want to think that even if you were to be speaking to the members of individual parties around here who were here at the time, they would tell you that I would serve all of them with pride and without any prejudice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You look very convinced now, Nidhi. Thank you very much. Julie will be the last person, and then we're going to have a short break for lunch.
Julie, I would like to ask the advocate just the following question. If she could firstly tell us why was the suspension of the group CEO of the SABC such a controversy? What went wrong, in your view? Secondly, as far as the annual report of the SABC is concerned, your study of it and the funding, the current funding layout, can you give us sort of an impression of what you think program-wise and specifically the components, commercial, public, etc., the mandate of the SABC, how that we could again look at the spread as it, from what it is now and what your proposal would be. You discussed public funding model a little bit, but I would just like to have more further details. What other elements in the annual report struck you as serious problems of the organization, cash flow, etc., etc.? And then lastly, the question of legislation, the legal framework. The SABC has a board which consists of non-executive and management people, executive members. There seems to be a problem with, there was a problem with accountability in the previous board. Your understanding of the legislation, how do you deal with that? How do you ensure accountability in terms of the PFMI? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. The suspension of the group CEO in the main, I just gave myself some time to look at the very last judgment on the case. In the main, one, my own impression, could summarize this and say it's the halubaloo comes in particular around the issues of administrative justice. If you are going to accuse a person of having committed, committed any administrative kind of irresponsible act, then that person has got to be given, an opportunity to state her or his own case. In this particular one, it doesn't appear that was done enough. I'm not necessarily looking at the merits of why the group CEO was suspended, but you're looking now at the procedural matters. Yes, procedurally, there seems to have been something that really didn't go wrong there. I mean, didn't go right there. Even when you look at the articles of association of the board, the meeting that finally led to, we would say, to the board suspending him, doesn't seem to be a meeting that was properly convened and properly constituted. Convened in the sense that the group CEO who was suspended and his management were given short notice in terms of the meeting, and also they are said to have participated but not having participated at the same time, because when the issue was being deliberated, they were outside, when in fact they are board members. They should have been there as board members. And that if necessarily there was any question around the issues of the conflict of interest, it's an issue that should have been raised in the presence of the group CEO and the management, so that the board and the person concerned could agree that necessarily you have a conflict of interest here, and therefore it means you should be asked to recuse yourself from this. But that doesn't seem to have happened. It's like the non-executive, I'm going to say it's like the non-executive directors decided on their own that they were going to have this meeting. But unfortunately, the legislation that governs the whole thing does not allow them or doesn't empower them to do that. It actually requires of them to call all the board members, including the executive members, especially when you had to be dealing with something this important, the suspension of the group CEO, and therefore, in other words, you might want to say one of the board members, because he was also a board member there. So now, if you look at the procedural matters, even if the group CEO had a case to answer, now this one had to give him a way out, in the sense that he has had to focus on, he has had to focus on, on the technical issues, which would not be taking the board anywhere. And in fact, the whole thing just made the whole issue around SABC, you know, even much more complicated than people have thought it was, and attracted this lot of publicity. The funding and commercial advertising. As I have indicated, it is state-funded, and there'll always be a shortfall. And fortunately for them, the law does allow them to go and top up whatever difference there is, if they can make up. Yes, in terms of these other things, and advertising is one of the ways of raising funds for them. But what I was saying is, they need to advertise. I also can go and advertise if I have money to do so as a South African, because the companies, as the South African entities, have also got this right. And it's also important for the economy as well. But with that in mind, we've got to be saying it's got to strike a balance with the fact that it has got a commandate, which is public broadcasting. And that commandate, there was a specific reason why they have had to be given that as their commandate. So that mandate, we need to make sure that we don't compromise it by necessarily trying to raise funds which at some point we might even find ourselves seen as not having raised these funds again to advance this very same mandate. So if we raise these funds, we should be saying they're going to contribute towards this commandate, which is public broadcasting. So I'm basically saying we need to be striking this balance. Your core business, you exist for public broadcasting services. Do that. We allow you, you know, to have a leeway and raise some funds for you to be able to move forward with this. But as the state, we will be giving you a percentage so that you can move ahead in terms of discharging your commandate.
Thank you very much. No further questions. Thank you for participating in the interview. Members, shall we have a 15-minute break for lunch? And then we will reconvene at 25 past 1 for the next interview. We'll give you 3 to 5 minutes to take us to your CV, and then really motivate why you think you'll be a worthy candidate for serving on the board. You're the only member of the interim board that has been renominated and has accepted nomination. Maybe you should tell us why you want to continue. And then, of course, members will ask questions, and you know what the procedure is after that. So over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I think I'm not going to dwell for any length of time on my CV. I think most of you know that I did serve in this Parliament from 1994 until the election this year. I also served for the last 5 years in the Pan-African Parliament as the and then I was elected in the Pan-African Parliament as the rapporteur on the Committee on Transport, Industry, Energy, Science, Technology and Communications, and special focal point ICT person for the Parliament. My background is really journalism. For many years I served as a journalist, and as a foreign correspondent, as a bureau chief, and I think my CV speaks for itself. What I am particularly proud of is that alongside my work in Parliament, I have served for nearly 17 years as a trustee of the National Peace Corps Trust, and I've worked very closely in attempting to help ex-combatants and link them to psychosocial interventions, which I still do. So, I mean, I've tried to be a good citizen in combining my work as a Member of Parliament, do my constituency work, and then work with the victims, really, of our struggle for liberation. Chairperson, it is well known that I was honoured with selection to be on the interim board of the SABC. And what I'd like to spend just a few minutes here is it's been exactly 2 months. The President signed us into service, as it were, on the 10th of July. And it's exactly 2 months today that we have been serving on an interim board. And so I'd like to really thank the Parliament and obviously the President for affording me the opportunity to be a member of the interim board. When you sit here, it's one thing. When you're in the SABC, it's quite another. And I really have, as you say, I've been here, but now that I'm there, I've learned a lot. And when I was here, if you remember, I queried the fact why only put 5 people on an interim board. I thought it was too few. But in fact, now I realized it was an inspired move, because the board that was put together under the extraordinary leadership of Irene Charnley, and with Libby Lloyd, with Advocate Sidebe, with Professor Tunkulu, we really have worked so hard as a team and so well as a team. So having a small, tight-knit team has worked extremely well. And so one of the reasons that it has been such a... It's been a full-time job for the last 2 months. This hasn't been sort of just come once a week. We've really had to hit the ground running and do what was required of us. But it has been a real learning curve, but to work with people like with Ari Chandley and Libby and Advocates for Debbie and Professor Tukulu has been a wonderful experience. So I would like to be able to, should you wish me to do so, to carry on what I've learnt and the experiences and some of my insights into the SABC. I'd like to be able to carry that through. We've tried to stabilise the corporation as quickly as we can. Not that we can't say that we've done it, but certainly some of the work we've had to do with the unions. We've tried to bring back morale to a very demoralized corporation. We've tried to affect the kind of legislative compliance required of us, certainly in terms of financial issues and liquidity, and in attempt to deal with key operational issues. In a nutshell, I'd like to go back because I'd like to continue the work that we've started in attempting to bring good corporate governance into the corporation. So, I mean, I would assume that you would want to question me more on this. I hope so, because I think one of the key reasons I want to go back is that, you know, you can know a lot about regulation, you can know a lot about all the issues that you want people to have the skills on the SABC, but it boils down to good corporate governance. You know, you've got to hold executives to account. You've got to see that those key performance indicators are met. And the trouble is that the ball has been dropped, and it's been dropped for a very long time, and it's not going to be something that you can pick up quickly. It's going to be a long, hard slog to get the SAB back where it should be in terms of a public broadcaster that's based on excellence and meeting the needs of its audience.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Van der Berg. Eric Kulwani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Foss, I just want to ask you for the interest of it. Since we last had the grueling meeting with the board and the executive and everything, and just in a nutshell, what did you, the interim board, what did they achieve? If you can just point out one or two things, just to give us an idea where we stand now.
Person, what we've produced is what we call our key milestones. So I'm going to tell you what we've focused on and some of the things that we've done and some of the things that are. For instance, we've looked at we've resolved the wage dispute. We've settled the impasse with the former group chief executive officer. We've gone line by line through every budget, and I can tell you this has been an exhausting process. Thank heaven for somebody like the chairperson, the interim chairperson, Irene Charney, because she can look at slides and go, no, go back. Why is that figure there when it should be there? Because the fact of the matter is that we can't trust a lot of the information that's been given to us. We are having to, there are problems with the quality and the standard of the information that we get. So we're literally, so one of the things we have been doing is not just accepting what's given to us in the old PowerPoints and everything's fine, because we know it's not fine. So we have been establishing good corporate governance, our attempts to say to the executives, don't blame somebody there. You are the executive and we're going to hold you accountable. So it's been hard, and I think people have now got the message that we're expecting that they work up to what they have said they will do in terms of the key performance indicators in their contracts, and we're expecting performance. We're looking at strengthening management capacity in various ways. We have really focused on revenue targets. One of the problems, I mean, in the SABC is everybody says, oh, we're meeting our mandate, but they haven't matched strategy to resources. And so now we find ourselves in this. So that is key, looking at resources, sales. There are pockets of great excellence at the SABC, but it's attempting to make sure that they perform as they're required. One of our big jobs is, of course, debt. We're having to look at liquidity issues and the payment to critical debts, especially to the independent producers, who have every right to be very, very upset by what's happened. They have every right. So our job is to get the liquidity right, because one of the words the phrases that what one looks at now is wasteful expenditure, but at the same time you can't offer people contracts if you haven't got the money. You know, so we're literally having to attempt to get the resources together so we can pay the debts, and then we can get the independent producers up and running again with the books to get the proposals out. But we can't do it yet because you can't offer jobs when you haven't got the money to pay them. We've obviously attempted in terms of that is in our stabilisation tactics, but we've also looked at legislative compliance. Many a day and night and weekend has been spent doing the compliance in terms of the financials to go to the DOC and the Treasury. So there's been a lot of work done there. It's been establishing an audit committee. Now, as you know, we don't have anybody who's a chartered accountant auditor. So especially the chairperson, we've got together people, we're calling it national service, and getting in key people to work on the audit committee for nothing, to have a good hard look at the audit, not on the figures that we're producing. Because out of that, we have to produce the annual report here for Parliament. As you know, we've asked for an extension. We've got to have the annual figures, the annual report, the annual general meeting, so we're ensuring that that's on track. And then on operational issues, of course, we've had to look at 2010. We've had to make sure that the equipment that we require has been ordered. I mean, it's a process. We've had to have a good hard look at what we can afford and what we can't, but what is essential for 2010, for our commitment to 2010. We've had to review a lot of business decisions, and can we afford them now? Do we have to have them? Can we delay them? We're looking at, of course, renegotiating contracts. I mean, one of the problems is that 20 people would fly to New York and first class. We've had a big austerity drive. I think we reported to Parliament last time. Economy class, we all buy our lunches. We don't drink bottled water. The tap's good enough in Boston Park. And so we've done some really tough decision-making in terms of cost-cutting. I think just really outstanding issues on a whole range of every day is another crisis that we deal with. But I think we're getting there.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
We're not asking the interim board to report to us at the moment. We are interviewing a candidate. Yes. Reverend Zondi, you can ask the sweetheart question that you had prepared. I'll hand over to you.
Oh,
now, Mr. Kulwani.
Thanks. I know you are paying your TV license. You are up to date.
But I wouldn't.
I suspect you. Until you are worthy to not to be suspected. But anyway, anyone is a suspect. terms of TV license. I suspect some of the honorable members here are not even paid. still have to do some searching so that we unravel those who are not paid. Thanks, Chair. I'm happy when you are saying Rev Zondi will ask the street question, because I'm not in a mood for a street question. Not at all. I want the hard one. The first question. I want you to tell me how do you feel now in relation, in particular, the ANC. 2007, when we're debating the appointment of the then board, which you have dissolved and appointed amongst other people yourself in the interim board, you said, I will just quote a few things. The entire package of 12 put together by the ANC tells a story of toxic and cynical political manipulation. The ANC will not allow opposition parties to negotiate alternatives to their decision in any way whatsoever. I can tell there was no Ubuntu in that committee at all. This was a final list casting stone, which obviously descended on the committee from above and beyond this house, meaning the National Assembly. Yes, to the house. Now, this is the committee which appointed you as an interim board member. Or submitted to the president that you be appointed or recommended to the president for your appointment to an interim board member. That's my first question. Are you still holding such view today, as we are before this committee? The second question, which I like to ask, although Chair was cautioning about trying to probe on the interim board issues. You have been coming under attack in public. Yesterday, of course, within their rights, one of the previous or former board member was here. One of the issues was the stoppage of the commissioning, the independent producers, that decision was ill-advised and ill-informed, to say the least. I'm not quoting him. I'm just putting my words on what I thought he was saying. What's your view on that matter? Secondly, thirdly, the producers are complaining that we are not open. We are playing your cards towards your chest, close to your chest. They don't even know what is your plan. And indeed, your spokesperson confirmed that you will never disclose any plan because of competition and other things. If you look at the newspapers today, I'm just trying to check the whether you are building the confidence to the public and those who are associated with the SABC, if such things are happening in terms of not disclosing or putting forward your plan so that everyone involved around the issue of the SABC can be able to understand exactly what you understand. Fourthly or fifthly, I'm not sure. The issue of personal interest, where board members are having invested business interests for that matter, and senior managers in the activities of the SABC. I know the provision of the legislation, I'm sure you still remember, that it allows that you only excuse yourself and so on. What's your view on that matter? Is it a workable situation where you have board members and senior management being involved in dealing business with the SABC. The last issue which I think is important being picked up today is that, as you know, that we don't have an evaluation plan or a performance management system for the board members. I'm not sure that the board does have for the management. But there is no system to evaluate the board members. We might not even be able to evaluate you as an interim board because we don't have a system even to evaluate your performance. What do you think in going forward? If ultimately there is a system, who must have that responsibility of evaluating the board, in your view? Thanks, Chair. Or lastly, when we appointed you, all the opposition parties were complaining about the bulliness of the ANC. They were complaining about the ANC appointing the interim board. Do you think we took the right decision to appoint this board, especially these men and women who are in that particular board?
Okay. Firstly, I stand by every word that I said in Parliament at that time. They were troubled times. When I talk now to staff at our rediffusions and we talk around the country, I always say, let's look at the past, learn from it, and move on. Now, the fact of the matter is I do believe that at that time there was a sort of a toxic environment around the selection of that board. And we have indeed looked at that past, and this Parliament has indeed moved on. It has dealt with the problem that toxicity, as I put it, created. And so I hold the view that I spoke in Parliament at that time. I think that subsequent events proved me to be right in many ways, that there were problems, which now have been dealt with. In terms of the independent producers, I did say earlier, I think they have every right to be very, very angry. There has been a complete lack of corporate and financial management at the SABC for a very long time. Part of the toxicity I referred to, the previous board dropped the ball. And when you drop the ball in a corporation, a multi-billion rand corporation for nearly 2 years, you're going to have the consequences that we've had now. And the collateral damage have been the producers. Personally, I think that the local content quotas that ICASA has given to SABC and its various channels are too low. I would like to see them way above 50%. I assume that some of you are going to ask me about funding. We can get to that. But I would say that with good corporate governance, I mean, yes, advertising revenues are down. Yes, sponsorships and so on and so forth. But I think with proper management, we could increase our local content quite considerably. And especially we're going to have to with the digital terrestrial. But then that's another issue, another debate perhaps for another day in the kind of content hub and the sort of things that should be happening. The DOC, I think, needs to talk more fully to you about what they've been meant to be doing in that regard. So I think that to answer specifically your question, they have every right to be angry, but we have had to make decisions when we first came in there, given the debt, given that the reality, in fact I'll say so here because we did tell the unions, the reality was that if we didn't do something, we would not have had money to have paid salaries by October. It was that serious. So what do you do? The first thing you do is you have a good, hard look in every single department where the money is in budget, resources, you know, how are you going to align your strategy to what you've got and then cut. So it was. It wasn't a question of not wanting to put up the book and to get the request for. We simply could not go into a reckless trading situation. We could not. When you get there, you get a pile of documents saying what are your duties as a director. You know, what are the financial? And you cannot go into reckless trading. We simply could not do that. But the independent producers are paying the price of the kind of financial mismanagement that we have now had to attempt to try and stem the bleeding, as it were. I don't think it's true to say that we have not been open with the producers. I personally have had meetings in the bed and breakfast that I stay in Melville. I mean, they've come and we've had meetings there. Well, the board members we've had several meetings with them where we have been extremely open. In fact, I think I've got it here somewhere, where we have told them where exactly what we're hoping to do in terms of the request for proposals. We've sat down with them and explained to them that we haven't postponed, we've deferred. We've been very, very careful in saying to them that as soon as we get the money, the request for proposals, the book will go out. But we simply can't do that till we get the liquidity right. So it's not we have been extremely open. You hear the most horrific stories. People, their marriages are breaking up, they're losing their cars, they're losing their homes. I mean, it's outrageous. But we're doing our very best to attempt to ensure that we have liquidity so that once the money, certainly towards the end of the year. So we're not postponing, we've deferred. A key point, the Honourable Kalwani, a key point, which I think goes to the heart, is that we have made an undertaking that we are not going to tamper with the local content, ICASA quotas, figures. We are not going to go below what we are required to produce in terms of local content. So that is a commitment, that is a firm undertaking, that those local content figures will not go down. So I understand the anger, but the truth is that we have been as open, we really have been as open as we possibly can with them. On personal interests, one of the first things that happened when you go into the board is that you obviously have to declare. I have no personal interests at all. I have a dormant company called Suzanne Voss Communications Pty. I don't have any personal interests. You've asked my view. My view is that I see it as corrupt, people who would want to go onto the SABC board in the hope that somehow they'll find out about somehow, you know, what they perceived then to be the billions of rands that were going to be spent on technology and other things. I'm quite sure that people may or may not have had their eyes on that. I think it's corrupt. And I don't think it should be tolerated, and I think that people who do these things should go to jail. I mean, the Auditor General is going to report to you, which has been... We've had a process. It's been quite go, in that the board has been going in in terms of our legislative mandate, but at the same time, the minister has had a task team there to advise him on a whole range of issues of SABC, Centec, and so on and so forth. But then we've also had the Auditor General in the building, and we have given the Auditor General our unfettered cooperation to investigate what you have asked him to do, and more. So I think that anybody who thinks that we are saying, because we're working 4 or 5 days a week now, we're calling this national service, and it is, and it's great. I mean, we're working as it, and it is a form of national service. People think they're going to come in as a board and in a way, excuse me, see it as a cash cow. I think it's disgusting. Because it's wrong. When you look at the public mandate, it's wrong. Now, who should evaluate the board? essentially because we are, go through a parliamentary process, and then obviously the president. Essentially, you should. But I think, but out there, I mean, you have the shareholder that is the minister. I mean, he certainly can see if the wheels are coming off very quickly. I think there should be much more reporting and much more quickly. And the I think we should come more to you. We're giving monthly reports, in fact. excuse me, to the minister. I think we should come more often to Parliament. But I also think that who are the stakeholders? The stakeholders are the people of this country, the tens of millions of people who listen and who only have the SABC to inform, to educate, to entertain. I mean, the people of this country deserve a board that has the capacity and the intestinal fortitude to do something when something is wrong, but to also ensure that corporation tells the truth, that it does so with integrity, and it's run by people with integrity. So I think that we each and every member of the board should be held accountable for their actions, as should the collective. The opposition complains about the board. That's your job. I mean, you have a job to express yourself. However you see that, that is why you have multi-party democracy. And I think that I'm perfectly happy if people praise me or complain about me. I mean, it's the process. I said earlier that, however, I mean, I wasn't involved in the process, but I must say I'm so honoured and privileged to have been put on the board. And I felt that, as I said earlier, that it was inspired, in fact, the way that the five people were put together. I know not, I mean, by you and by the president, because it's five people who have really worked so hard together and so well as a team. So what you did, no matter what the complaints were, I think you'll find that within the... When we got to the SABC, I mean, we got into a very traumatized building. I mean, people walking around like this, suppose you're going to fire me, you know. I mean, and we've had horrible experiences we've been shouted at all the time, and I mean, these are executives who are traumatized. And it was not a pleasant place to be initially. So under the wonderful leadership of Irene Charney, our first attempt was to clearly to stabilize, but in the end, this board, interim board, and another board is going to have to take some very hard decisions. And those hard decisions are going to revolve totally around corporate governance. Yes, you're going to have people looking at commercial and public and news, but unless you get this right, you can put Einstein and Mother Teresa's reincarnation, whatever you like, but unless you put people who are going to be prepared to make some tough decisions, the mistakes are going to repeat themselves. I think I've answered your six. Is that it?
Patricia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to ask Ms. Foss if, you know, you do get appointed to the board, what plans will you put in place to look at and make the SABC financially viable? What will you do with the bloated SABC? Because it is affecting the workers of SABC, and also around corporate governance. But now I'm going to sneak in another question, Chairperson, because I see here that Ms. Voss has been serving on the Remuneration Committee. If you could just explain to us, you know, what exactly are you looking at there? Because yesterday we made inquiries about bonuses that were paid to some of the executives. And we were told something about a term called bankable, what?
Bankable bonus. Bankable shares.
They are no more under the... Okay, bankable bonuses. If you can just explain to us, what route are you taking there? And then you are also a member of the subcommittee of the Public Service Subcommittee. What exactly does that committee do? Thank you. And then I just want to say to Mr. Kolwane that we will complain again if the ANC is trying to bully us. Thank you.
Well, a good process. We've been doing so well till now. Start there. But he's a youngster, man.
I was
responding to younger people.
We're not going to bully them, we'll cow them now.
Chairperson, I think I've explained that in terms of the financial viability, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, to make the SABC viable, one has to ensure that the resources that you have are looked after. Now, I really think that people should be very sober about the reality of the competing needs in our country, which we know. The SABC can't go rattling a tin cup and indicating that we need some money. We're the best world in the world. We're not going to get the billions. I mean, clearly there's going to be money for digital terrestrial. I mean, there's certain funding that have gone through the budget, as we all know. We're as broadcasters are all around the world, we're in a situation where we simply have to do the best with what we've got. We're not going to get a big payout. We're not going to be have the government aren't going to hand us billions. I mean, they will hand us guarantees, I'm sure, properly motivated, I might add, that will assist us in the short term and medium term to meet the mandate that we have. So I think that we simply, what we have to do is it's a multi-billion rand corporation. In many ways, it's operating with audiences of tens of millions. We have every reason, I think, to be very positive that with the kind of leadership and people who are hard-nosed business persons, who understand, and you get those sales teams working, and you start having a good hard look at what you're paying for local content. I mean, I think the local producers have every right to be very upset, but then we're going to have to cut costs, and so are they. I mean, I think the reality is that they're also going to have to drop their prices a bit. I brought along here, I mean, I heard that it was in this morning's paper that a previous board member talked about a bloated SABC. Perfectly true. I mean, I've got a headcount analysis here, and I won't mention the names of the department, but I'll give you an idea. In 2005, there were 841 people. In 2009, there were 1,104 people. The average pay cost in that started off in 2005 at 228,025 rand per head, and it is now 428,086 rand. Things have gone mad there in terms of the proliferation of people in departments. And so now one must reward excellence, and there are people of enormous quality and commitment. And the ability to perform. And we just have to make sure that now people perform, that they meet the mandates and requirements in terms of the areas in which they work. And others, we'll have to have a very good hard look at the now staff and whether they are required in terms of the mandate. That is not going to be easy. But then that's what people have put in boards to do. I mean, you've got to perform. The Remuneration Committee, we weren't really looking at how it also involves
it also involves contracts and who acting COO and acting head of news and so basically you're looking at appointments. Bankable bonuses, it's so complicated. But basically in the days when the SABC was making money, they used to say, well, so much for staff, you know, and so much for the poor union people. But then